This is the world's greatest Springsteen podcast with Fisherman and Tom. I am Fisherman, the bootlegger who pays the highest price. With me, as always, is Tom. How are you today, Tom?
I'm okay. Just got a little cold, but I'm okay.
Well, I hope you feel better. You're back from Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit busy yesterday when we usually record Saturday, so we are recording today on Super Bowl Sunday. The big game is today, and by the time you watch this, of course, you will have already known what happened, and you'll all be like, boy, you guys are excited about the most boring Super Bowl in the history of, you know, the Super Bowl is usually pretty boring. I don't know if people remember that from year to year, but like 85% of the time, the game is a real letdown. And but I'll be watching today. I'm excited about it. I got some squares. You watching the game today, Tom?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You got any gambling going on? Any wagers on one side or the other? Or any gimmicks like I got squares?
No, I bet someone whether or not Taylor Swift was going to sing with Usher during halftime. But she said,
I hope you took that she's not. Did you bet that she will?
Yeah. I said, yeah, of course she's going to come up and sing.
Oh, did you get odds?
Yeah, I'm going to lose like $250,000, I think.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. I have actual wager. I have what's called, you know what a square is in football or in Super Bowl gambling? What a square is?
Of course. What do you
think?
Well,
a lot of people do not know. You say, I got squares. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? So yeah, I got four squares, and I don't even know what my numbers are yet. I have to look. They're in my email somewhere. If cheap ones, $5 a piece. They pay $125 on a quarter. I've won one in my life. One square, one quarter, and it was a $5 then too for $125 once in my life. I guarantee you I've put out far more than $125 into the square pool contest. So anyway, I have four squares. You know who runs my square pool that I get in every year?
What? Who?
My mom.
Oh, wow.
My mom runs the square. I don't know when it started, 20 years ago, something like that. My mom started doing her own grid every Super Bowl. I think it was because she would used to do it with people she worked with, and then they weren't doing it anymore and she missed it. I should ask her how it came about that she has run this Super Bowl. You got to fill in 100 squares. My mom knows a lot of people. I bought four.
What did you think of Springsteen's halftime show? And do you think it was the best ever?
Well, you know, let me tell you something about the halftime show. I enjoyed it the most ever. But you know, the halftime show is lip synced for one. Even artists who swear they will not lip sync and have a non lip sync policy, if they want to do the Super Bowl, they have to lip sync. That's the deal. The NFL doesn't play games. It's not a live performance. It's a recording and they lip sync to it. So right there, that takes it out of something that I really care about that much. I enjoyed that. You know, the interview segment leading up to it. I enjoy the segment. I've seen it several times in the year since, usually right around Super Sunday. I haven't watched it this year. It's, you know, he got a lot of fans from that. It's a nice little 12-minute representation of what going on a Springsteen show is like. I thought it was a lot of fun. I guarantee you weren't thrilled I keep wanting to say We Are the World. I just watched that documentary. What was the album that was out? Working on a Dream. And he played a segment of Working on a Dream.
I've always loved that song, Working on a Dream. And I thought that was very good. The version in the Super Bowl halftime show. I thought that was really good with the singers in the background. I thought it came out good.
That's amazing. I think I know what you like and what you don't like, and you surprise me every single time.
Oh, no, yeah, I always like that one. There's some songs on that album I don't like, but I was glad he did that.
You're an abuser of that album, and most people who don't like that album, you know, they put the title cut out front and center It's like one of the ones they do not like. It's massively, it's got
I've
a
always been
big
a
hate.
fan. Yeah, it was, I thought it was real good. I didn't notice he was lip syncing at all.
That is true. You don't notice. And I think he might have been speaking, but I don't know. I don't know how it gets down to the details. I guarantee you George Washington's gonna call me and go, "He wasn't lip syncing, motherfucker." But
Yeah, I don't
I'm
think
pretty
he.
sure that he was lip syncing. That is the deal with the NFL. You have to lip sync. So I kind of remember it. They brought out a lot of Bruce fans as volunteers to come, and they weren't even allowed into the game. They had to like stay back where you couldn't see the game until like 2 minute warning. And then they were allowed to like fill the tunnel, and they rehearsed it like for days before. And then all these Bruce fans would run out on the field with pieces of the stage. That was part of the deal. The audience that were on the field screaming for Bruce, they had no ticket to the Super Bowl, weren't allowed in the stadium during the game, and built the stage right during the commercial break between the end of the first half and now the Super Bowl presents the halftime show. And it takes, I don't know how many people, 700 people, 600 people to bring out all the pieces, and everybody's got a piece. I think there's a documentary out there about how it works, but and then they get to stay on the field, and then they cut the commercial, and everybody grabs their piece and runs off, and then they kick them the hell out. You can't stay. You don't have a ticket. Tickets are 5 grand, 10 grand. Get the hell out. And fans did it. If I was anywhere near, where was his Super Bowl? Do you remember?
This was Tampa.
Were you anywhere near it?
Yeah, I was working. Unfortunately, I probably should have tried to go, but I just,
You should have, because that was absolutely free to be involved in that. If you were willing to come down there and do the rehearsal and help build that stage and everything, it costs not a penny to come in and be there on the field for the Bruce performance. And then tear it down. That would have, I can't believe that was in Tampa. You couldn't get out of work, huh?
I probably could have. I wasn't that motivated to be there. I'd
In
seen him already.
retrospect. In retrospect, you wish you were part of that amazing moment.
Yeah.
All right. And what about the Jeep commercial?
I barely remember that.
Oh my God. Let me tell you something about the Jeep commercial. My whole YouTube channel started the night before the Super Bowl, where Bruce was doing that Jeep commercial. I just decided to go on YouTube and do one of those reaction videos to seeing that commercial for the first time, and it birthed my channel. It all started there with that Super Bowl commercial, and I loved the Super Bowl commercial. I thought it was an amazing commercial, and then it took, oh, so much backlash, and it was right on the heels, or no, actually it came right before the drunk driving incident,
Right.
and all of a sudden Bruce was in the news for. Yeah, that was a great commercial. I'll put up a clip, although maybe not. Some clips I'm afraid to put up because I'm afraid it's going to get our whole episode banned from YouTube because of copyright. So maybe I'll just put a link to the video, to the Jeep commercial down in the description so people can check it out if they've never seen it or don't remember it. I thought it was a great commercial, and I thought the message was great, and then people, I think it was widely misunderstood. It was taken it completely the opposite for what the meaning it was trying to convey, and much like most of what Bruce has put out there, there's like this faction of America that doesn't understand. They get it completely backwards.
You want to talk a little bit about this new single coming out?
Is that the Mark Knopfler?
Yes, it's a super group that has this Mark Knopfler has assembled for a charity single. for and the proceeds are going towards teen cancer. So that's good. And
this Mark Knopfler guitar project makes me feel like I should have learned to play the guitar. I should have learned to play them drums. So how many guitar players are on this project?
I think it's around 60, like almost 60. Yeah, it's insane. I mean, then the big names, you know. So I just didn't understand it. I don't know how much you understand this or if I'm getting any of it wrong, but it sounds like there's no lyrics to this song. It's a song he had put out a while ago. And he just asked all these artists to come along and play guitar, you know, do like a piece for this song.
So are we going to be able to tell Bruce by his style, or are we going to need the video? There'll be some nerd. If when this song comes out, anybody wants to come on the show and break it down and say, that's Clapton. I was going to say Van Halen. I guess it's not going to be Eddie Van Halen. He's not going to be there. But you know what I'm saying. I can't think of another guitarist besides Bruce Springsteen and Eric Clapton at the moment, except dead ones. Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, I mean, I could name a few just quickly, but like, you know, Sting, Sheryl Crow, Ringo Starr.
Ringo Starr plays guitar on this thing?
Apparently. it's like insane. I thought this was some kind of joke when I read it. He's
a famous axe man. For people who don't know who Ringo Starr is, he's world famous guitar player.
Pete Townsend. Roger Daltrey.
Roger Daltrey's playing guitar.
I mean, I assume so. This is what's a little confusing about the article, because there's really no singing. So
I've seen Roger Daltrey play guitar. He's not an incompetent at it. I'm not saying he's incompetent, but he's not, you know, if you're trying to put together a group of guitar players, you know, you don't go for the Beatles drummer and the Who's vocalist.
Yeah. Jeff Beck.
Now, Jeff Beck, you go to for guitar, but not anymore. How long have they been working on this project?
Sounds like a few days.
It's got to be more than a few days. Jeff Beck's been dead for at least a year, if not two.
Well, I think that's what's holding up the production, because he's dead.
Yeah, I mean, if they're waiting for him, he's not coming.
He's not coming back.
No.
Yeah. So that's
the Mark Knopfler project. We know very little about it, except there's a lot of art. I thought it was all guitarists, but I guess it's a lot of artists are playing something on this.
Oh, okay. Now that I read a little further, I'm a little slow. So
we should do that before the show.
There is a little paragraph here. It says, among those featured on the track include Sting on bass, Ringo Starr on drums, and legends like Brian May and Joan Armatrading strumming along. Okay.
Does it say what Daltrey is doing?
Roger Daltrey. Well, let me see. Doesn't say what he's doing. I think he's just standing there.
He could be screaming. He does a very good, you know, there doesn't have to be lyrics for him to scream like at the beginning of CSI.
I hope George Washington doesn't know anything about this.
Guarantee you, my phone, my text messages, they're all going to light up with corrections. We should give him a segment every week. He can record a segment where he reads everything we got wrong last week, and then we'll cut it in to our show this week.
Yeah, just cut out anything negative he says about me, but just include everything about you?
Okay. It's mostly, to be fair and honest, it's mostly about me. He has more complaints about me. Although, I mean, you get something factual wrong, he will come at you. He's big on facts. He's a teacher.
That's a good, noble profession.
So that's it for the Mark Knopfler. What else we got today?
Yeah.
I can go to my list here. Make sure we get it all.
Okay, so.
Oh, yeah, Bon Jovi. We talked about this last week. The Bon Jovi Music Cares, but we didn't really go into what they played. And I know now we're a little bit more knowledgeable about what happened that night. We recorded it
Yes.
The night after it happened, and we didn't know that much. But you got a list of what they played together, Tom?
This is a long list, so we're going to be here a while. He played two songs, Who Says You Can't Go Home, and then the Promised Land.
That's pretty rare for them to play a song that's not by the honoree, isn't it?
Extremely rare.
That's probably a request by John Bon Jovi to do one of Bruce's songs, but they did them both together, or did Bruce do one like as a tribute by himself?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't really know. I'm assuming, you know, they did it together. But
I could have come prepared because there's video, but I just don't want to watch the video because I know Music Cares always puts out that nice pro shot. And I just don't want to spoil it by watching it in advance from somebody's cell phone. I watch a lot of cell phone videos, but when I know something's coming out, I just rather wait for the good stuff.
Yeah. And I think I'd read they weren't even sure Bruce was going to be there because I think his mom may have died that day or possibly the night.
She died on the 31st. I don't have a calendar in front of me. I don't know. Music Cares was on a Friday. 2 days. She died 2 days before the Music Cares benefit.
And I did read there was some article. Did you know anything about any problems with John Bon Jovi's vocal, him having some kind of vocal surgery?
I didn't hear anything about a surgery. I know people have complained about his voice on videos in recent years.
Okay, yeah. So he did some interviews. I guess something happened to his voice, and he said that he wouldn't want to sing anymore, and unless it was completely perfect like it normally is. But yeah, he had some problems, as you know, we know Bruce did also, although we never heard any problems with Bruce. It was just he revealed he had vocal cord surgery, I think, on that Howard Stern interview.
He had neck surgery, but I know this because Don had neck surgery. They go in from the front, and they tied off his vocal cords out of the way so they could work on his neck. And that caused inflammation and a long period of healing where he was worried that maybe my voice doesn't come back. So it wasn't really surgery on his vocal cords, but it was surgery that involved, you know, really traumatizing his vocal cords to do the surgery, which is, imagine being the doctor who says,
oh my
you
God,
know, in order to fix your neck, and you know, you don't want the pain, and you certainly don't want to wake up one day and you can't move your arms. I gotta fuck with your vocal cords. I have to tie them off to the side to get to your neck. And that's, you're probably not gonna be able to talk for like 4 months, and you might not be able to sing for a year, and it might take retraining. And sorry, it's like that episode of MASH where they have to tell that piano player that he lost his hand.
I never saw that show.
You never saw MASH? I guess you're young. I guess you're young. You said you're about to turn 50. You're not that much younger than me.
I mean, I'm aware of it. I just never, I think I tried to watch it and I just didn't understand it. It wasn't funny to me. And
it was very funny, but often it was also brutal. And on one episode, one of the doctors, I don't know who, had a patient who lost, they had to amputate his hand, and he woke up and he said, "I play the piano. My whole life is the piano. I have no reason to live without the piano." And the priest takes him to, I don't know, he gets him a one-handed piano book, I think it was the end of that episode. A book for playing the piano one-handed. Simple. Sitcoms are simple.
They did come out with Bruce's net worth of 2024, and they list it at $650 million.
And, that number just doesn't make sense.
Unless, you would think it's higher than that.
Unless his philanthropy is just completely way beyond anything we imagine. Because he got $500 million like 2 years ago from Sony, and he was already at $750 million going into that deal. He's got to be over. I know he lives off some of that money. I know he's expensive. His lifestyle, it's not just a lifestyle. He's a corporation. You know, we call it Bruce Inc. You know, that Inc. has employees, and employees have to make a lot of money. You know, it would cost a lot of money for one employee. Imagine how many that I'll work for Thrill Hill and Bruce and directly and the house, work in the house. How many people work in the house? I think we talked about this recently. There's a security team, I guarantee it, 24 hours in his house.
It does say that he flies a private jet out of Monmouth Airport in Jersey, which is close to his home. And but it's unclear whether he owns or rents his private aircraft. So that there's some money going into that. He also it does also list that I don't know what this has to, oh, it says I think I brought this up before. He makes, Bruce personally, it says, makes $2.8 million per show. That seems a little high.
At the prices today, that doesn't seem so high.
And that he divides the money equally among himself and the members of the E Street Band. So I think I could just see him.
So that's like, the whole band gets $2.8 million per show total?
That's what it, yeah. So, yeah. So he gets $2.8 million per show, which he divides equally among himself and the members of the E Street Band.
Does that count? Does that count the background singers and the horns? Are they as equal as Steve?
There's no way they are. And
there's no way.
Doesn't say. But yeah, there's like 20 E Street Band members now.
Right. But I think that if this article is accurate, I think they're talking about core E Street. I think that, you know, Jake would be included and so would Charlie, but not the backup singers and the horns. What? Susie, yeah. Susie's been in the band a long time now. She's on the albums. Susie is E Street. She's not E Street Choir. She's not E Street Horns. She's not E Street Percussion. She is E Street Band.
Do you think that Patty should be getting an equal cut?
What's the difference? Patty is worth $600 million.
And she hardly shows up to work.
She looks at it another way. Going to the studio in her home was work, and the only time she could get in was Bruce was on tour. And she said, what you read the article, not me. I'm going off what you told me. She said she felt unneeded on that stage. And I could see that. I could see her looking around, and there's 30 musicians, and they're reaching Bruce's vision without her. And she wants to record her album. He's always in the studio. Do you have any idea what it's like to live with an egomaniac rock star?
Look, you're the one who brought this up. Also, I did want to talk about this. You know, that he, we know he sold his catalog to Sony for $550 million. Bob Dylan only got $300 million. And
I think
what?
John Lando gets 15%.
I believe it. But what, nothing has really transpired since this sale. It's been, what, a couple of years now? This was in 2021.
Sony's
So,
released nothing. I mean, unless they get part of Nugs, Sony has released nothing. We haven't really seen his stuff show up in commercials like other artists. I don't know. I don't
what
know
is going on?
what they're holding on to, what the investment was in. I don't know.
Yeah, we all thought we'd see something. It would be a good thing for us as fans, but I haven't. We haven't. There's been nothing, you know, like maybe some unreleased music.
Nothing. It seems like maybe part of the contract is you really can't do anything until I'm gone. Until then, I do what I want to do.
Man, I gotta tell you, this is the best deal ever.
I know the rights to the songs. I mean, here's what it means: downloads, CD sales, you know, stuff that regularly brings in. We don't know how much money because we're not in that industry is going to Sony instead of Bruce Inc. I don't know if that's how that's worth $550 million, but maybe it is because it's forever. Maybe they see it, you know, if a movie wants to use a song, that money now goes to Sony instead of to Bruce. So, you know, I don't know. Are they in on Addicted to Romance? Is it only stuff from before the contract, or do they own everything he puts out? I don't know. Nobody's like seen that contract. All we've seen is like a headline, $500 million for Springsteen. That's all we really know.
Yeah. Have you heard the new Lucinda Williams song with Bruce?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I think I told you about it maybe a
You
week
mentioned
ago.
it. Yes, you have. I've been very busy. I haven't heard the new Billy Joel song.
Oh my God. Are you serious? Did you watch
I'm
the Grammy?
serious. I didn't watch the Grammys. I haven't seen the video that he released or the Grammy performance. I've seen neither one. It's been a very busy week. We'll talk about it in a second. I saw you too. I went to the Sphere and saw you too for the second and last time in my life.
What'd you think?
The Sphere is the greatest venue that I have ever been in, and I can't wait to go see a band that I am a fan of. And the next two bands that are coming, I am a fan of both of them. And the tickets for Fish are impossible. They're just impossible. They're playing four shows. I want to go so bad. This place is incredible. I had an amazing time. You two, I've given them, this is my second time seeing them. They're just, I know everybody loves them. I know I like bands that not everybody loves, but I can't get into U2. I knew a lot of 80% of the songs. You know, the Achtung Baby was a big hit. Most of those songs were hits. I knew them, you know. I can't name them now. One, I know, you know, that's, I like that song, but I thought it was so boring in concert. And even
They
their
do.
visuals, their use of the screen could have been so much better, I thought. They did some really cool things.
Did he do People Get Ready?
No, People Get Ready is Bob Dylan, right?
Isn't, I'm pretty sure that's a staple of the U2 concert, isn't it?
I don't know. They
Wrong.
played Where the Streets Have, at the end, nobody stood up the whole show. Oh, and I forgot that the seats rumble and stuff, and I got an assisted. I went to the wheelchair row, and I had a folding chair, so I didn't get to experience the Sphere seats. That,
Seats rumble.
yeah, the seats are supposed to do shit along with the music. I don't know what they do because I didn't sit there. That was my. Somebody asked me about it after, and I was like, oh, I forgot about that. I bought a wheelchair. I had all these good reasons why I should sit in the wheelchair row. You know, I'm walking with a cane. I got a bad hip. I was like worried about the steepness of the stairs. I was like, oh, I know if I get a wheelchair row, there'll be an elevator with no stairs at all. So I bought the wheelchair row. And, you know, I'm fat. You get in those theaters and they're always so tight between, you get a seat, but if you're not on the aisle, you get a seat between two people. I just feel so tight. And it was very spacious. I would do it again. But now I want to sit in the seat and feel the rumble and find out what that's all about. But nobody stood up the entire show until like the last two songs where the streets have no name and still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Do you think it's a venue that Bruce would play?
Well, they built it, they opened it, and then he announced T-Mobile Arena. So I don't think he has intention of playing there. I don't think, you know, to play there, you have to design this whole visual show. And I don't think he's interested in doing that. He uses screens basically just to show the band. And there's a lot of showing the band on the screen, but it's mixed with a lot of crazy stuff like this giant wall that opens up at the beginning. It's just this wall and it opens. And then you're looking at the band on multiple TV screens. And then before you know it, you're looking at outside. They make the whole sphere disappear.
Okay.
You can see the Vegas Strip behind the band and everything from right in the spot where the sphere is. And it's just the audience, the band, and Vegas, and the wall just disappears. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. But
and now you got the Super Bowl in your backyard.
The Super Bowl is here. It was super. That's how, for some reason, people in town for the Super Bowl didn't want to see you too. And people who want to see you too didn't want to come in on the most expensive weekend in history for the Super Bowl. So tickets for you too were going cheap. It was the cheapest two shows. Friday and Saturday were the cheapest two shows of the entire 40 show run. And that is how I got in on Friday night. I got the cheapest ticket I've seen for the entire run. And I went, and it was a lot of Super Bowl people there. It's my only time really out of the house since the Super Bowl hype has been started. There's a lot of traffic, haven't really noticed that much except for at the concert, there were a lot of 49ers fans, not a lot of Kansas City gear. It's a lot of 49ers gear, but we're a lot closer to California.
True. Just the name of that Lucinda Williams song from 2023 is New York Comeback. And there is also a Willie Nelson cover of Dry Lightning that he sings with Emmylou Harris from 2013 that's out there. If anyone's interested, it's pretty good.
I thought you were telling us about a new Willie Nelson cover from 2013. Tom recently found a song, cover from 2013. Did they just recently release it, or you just came across it?
I just came across it, so it's new to me. Not sure if you'd ever heard it or anyone else has ever heard it. But, you
know. All right, Tom. So I think we're caught up on everything that's going on in Bruce news. And I know you were putting together your breakdown of the Rising album song by song. And I've been waiting for a chance to deliver that.
Yeah, let me grab it. I should have went more in depth on each one, but I didn't put too much into this. But I thought, yeah, quick song by song. So it opens with Lonesome Day. And I don't really remember what I wrote. So if I sound like this is all new to me, it's because I did this quite a while ago. This Lonesome Day was the second single released from The Rising. And I don't know about you, but I thought it was better than The Rising. So The Rising was released first. Like, it just as a song, once that came out, I was like, damn, this sounds so damn good. And what did you feel the same way? Did you like Lonesome Day better?
I wouldn't say I liked it better, but I'm a huge fan of Lonesome Day. I know
I
it's,
mean, I know.
I know it haunts our friend Maddie. I know that he seems to play it every time that Maddie goes to a show. But yeah, I've always been a big fan of Lonesome Day. I think it's got fantastic lyrics. It's a good song. I think every song on that album is just
I want
incredible.
you to think back when the album was released, when it was brand new. That's, I'm not talking about we've heard Lonesome Day and The Rising, you know, hundreds
I
of times.
saw the show before I ever heard the album. The album came out about a week before, 2 weeks before he played Detroit. And it was back in the day before you could just hear it streaming, or you had to go to the record store and you had to buy a CD. And I didn't have a lot of money. And I did not buy The Rising. I had my ticket and I went to the concert and I contacted a friend of mine who was going to the concert, who I really just knew from like internet chat boards because there was internet back then. And I wrote him and I was like, hey, can you like burn me a copy of The Rising and bring it to the show? So I got a burned pirate copy of The Rising at The Rising show in Auburn Hills, Michigan. So when I saw the concert, I had never heard the album. What was on the radio? I don't remember, man. You're going back 20 years. I don't know if I heard Lonesome Day or The Rise. I'm sure I heard The Rising. That was certainly on the radio, right? I don't even know if I heard Lonesome Day before I saw that concert.
Well, there were
you're taxing a stoner's memory, my friend.
Well, there were three singles released. So first, I remember definitely getting The Rising and just playing it over and over and over. This number two on the album is Into the Fire. And the first time I heard it was on the Today Show. And that was so awesome when Bruce and the E Street Band did the Today Show and they sung, I believe, four songs. Into the Fire, Glory Days, The Rising, Lonesome Day. I think that was it. But yeah, just that was the day. The Today Show special was the day the album was released. So I remember me and a couple of friends, we stayed up all night. I know it sounds like a Bruce story, but we stayed up all night and we wanted to see the Today Show, which came on at 7 a.m. And we were partying and watching this. And right as it ended, we ran out and bought the album and brought it back and just cranked it, listened to it from beginning to end. It was so good. And we were hearing the most of it for the very first time. You know, it's just so good. Each song is great. But
each song was great. And that brings me to thinking that we might have to talk about one song a week and make this a project, because if it takes us 10 minutes on each song, this is going to be the longest podcast on our page.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe we'll, if you want to just leave it there, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Maybe we'll do three songs and we'll pick it up next week. What's the second track on The Rising?
So that was the second track, Into the Fire.
Oh, Into the Fire. That was the second release and the second track?
No, that was just, it was performed on the Today Show.
Okay.
But the third, so the singles went Rising, Lonesome Day, the third song on the album, and the third single to be released was Waiting on a Sunny Day.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that was a single. No wonder everybody knows it and sings along.
Yeah, and what a great, you know, we could talk about any song you hear hundreds and hundreds of times, and this was 2002 now, this came out. But when I heard it on the album, and still when I crank this song from the album, it's so damn good.
When I heard it on the album, my first thought was this would be really good if he had a little kid sing it with him.
It did get bad. It did get bad later on the later tours. This song kind of took a turn, and you know, we had him have children sing lines from it, and he no longer did the knee slide, which for me, this was like a big deal. I thought this was the coolest thing I'd ever seen, you know, in 2002. Not only would he slide across the stage.
You gotta lay off of Bruce's knees, man. Gotta leave him alone, man. Those knees, he abused them for your entertainment for decades, and I guarantee you he feels the pain of it every single day. Leave his knees alone. It's over. We've got a lot of footage. He slid right into the cameraman on Super Sunday.
Yes, that was great. But it was to me, it was very exciting to see that, you know, and it showed a youthful side to him. And of course, later on in the same show, he did it again for Mary's Place. So we're talking two a night. Let me see. This song, just a quick note on Waiting on the Sunny Day. This song was written in the 90s, and it was actually sound checked at one of the reunion shows. And
that is interesting. I wonder if there's any audio of that. Who's got audio of the sound check of Waiting on a Sunny Day from 1999 or 2000?
Yeah, so a very good song. But yeah, we'll talk a little more about it. There are two outtakes from the album, The Rising, and we ended up getting them thanks to Bruce, Harry's Place and Down in the Hole. And we could talk more about them.
We'll save the rest of that album for next one. Probably won't get to the whole album. It'll probably take us a few weeks to get through the whole album, but we'll get Tom's in-depth view of each song on the remainder of the Rising album in the weeks to come, because we thought we had very little today, but it turns out as the time clicks, it turns out to be quite a lot. I do want to make sure that you get to list your top 10 favorite Bruce music videos, because I kind of cut you off last week when you were going to go with it. I said, no, we're saving that for next week. And I'd hate to not get to it. So somewhere in your desk there, I hope you have handy Tom's top 10 Bruce music videos. I didn't even realize there were 10.
Yeah, correct. I have in front of me, any real Bruce fan will have owned this. Of course, I had it originally on VHS, but this is the anthology. And they're just Bruce videos, MTV videos. Goes from 78 to 2000. And my question is, why hasn't he released an updated version of this from 2001 to the present time? He's never done that.
And I have a theory on that, and that's just that video doesn't really sell that well. It's very rare anybody puts out any kind of really good selling video. We were really lucky to get that No Nukes and an anthology. That's mostly music videos, not live stuff. That's like the MTV music videos, the black and white one where he's playing on a chair in his kitchen from Tunnel of Love, right? Is that a Tunnel of Love song on that? I'm not well versed in the videos, but that's mostly what that is. MTV videos, not live videos. So are there a lot of them that he's made since? I can think of that one 20-minute one where he's shirtless in the jungle.
There are a lot. There's certainly enough to make another anthology. But at this point, maybe they just won't. Of course, we all know MTV disappeared. And, you know, that's not a thing, making music videos the way we did. There were a lot from Tunnel of Love. And,
well, disc media is dead. So it comes to how do you sell it? You have to sell it. You have to sell it on Amazon as a rental or purchase thing, and then people have it virtually, and it just doesn't sell. Like, you know, then they have to sell it to a streaming service to make any money on it, and it just doesn't. There's no way to cash in on it the way they used to. So the incentive isn't the same to make something like that.
Yeah. So I can just run off. These are my top 10 favorite music videos by Bruce. And there's at least one, if not two, that aren't on this anthology. Again, he did continue to make videos after this, after 2000. So here we go. And you can tell me if you agree or disagree with this. But number 10, Brilliant Disguise.
Is that the one where he's on black and white sitting in the kitchen?
Yes.
I nailed
the
it.
Camera, Camera continues to move forward until it's right in his face and literally knocks him off the bar stool at the end of the video.
See, I don't just even remember that. Oh, you're joking. Like, I don't remember that. I know live Brilliant Disguise far more. I'm going to show an 88 show next week, I think.
If I was directing the video, that's how I would have ended it. So number 9 is Glory Days. It's a great video.
Yeah. Great video. Stevie in full pirate mode.
Mm-hmm.
Love that video.
Yeah. Rockin' song, too. We got number 8, Murder Incorporated.
Can't even think of that video. I have no idea.
Yeah, this was a concert. I believe you showed it recently. And during this brief reunion, while they were putting together the Greatest Hits album, they did a little short concert and filmed the whole show, but filmed this one performance of Murder Incorporated probably 10 times in front of a live audience to get it just right. And then, you go back.
And then is the video they released cuts from the different times, or is it the time they got it perfect all the way through?
That I'm not sure. It could have been one or the other. It was probably the pieces of each, because you wouldn't be able to tell, once it's put together.
Sure. Well, of course, you can tell with the sync when the lip syncing is off.
Yeah. But that was a good video for me. I just like, it's just a straightforward, that's how I think our favorite videos are, just them playing.
Yeah, I mean, live. I'm all for live videos.
And
when he's dressed as a mechanic coming from under the car.
I happen to really like that video, and it's on my list.
Yeah, well, what about the one where he's shirtless in the jungle? Hunter of Invisible Game, is that what that one is?
Yeah, that is not a highlight. I'm trying to forget that ever happened.
It's like 20 minute conceptual video, isn't it?
It's awful. Number 7. This is similar to Murder Incorporated, but an excellent video. Radio Nowhere.
No, the video at all, but it's live.
Yeah. I mean, it appears to be live. It's the band just playing the song. 2007. Everybody was there, nice and healthy, and just a great rocking song, man. And this was the first single released from Magic. And then we got, I believe everything else is older now. Everything else on the list. So number 6 would be War.
What is it good for?
Yeah, really great video. I don't know how the last time you saw that.
I don't remember ever seeing it. Is it from 84, 85, or is it from 88?
This was released, this video, right when Live 75 to 85 came out, because it's actually on 75 to 85. So they actually put a video together of it. And there's shots of the Vietnam War, and there's a father and son at a table in the beginning. And the son goes off to Vietnam. And then at the end, the father is at the table alone because the son didn't come back. So it's really, really great. And then number 5, Streets of Philadelphia.
I know that video. He walks and walks and walks. He's got a cool green jacket. He walks past the storefront, and he walks down the street past some basketball courts. He walks through the streets of Philadelphia.
True. Yeah. He walks the avenue. I thought that was a really, really good video. And great song, of course. Won all the awards. That had to be on the list. And that brought Bruce back on the radio. And number 4, Human Touch. I really love this video, Human Touch. It's definitely one of my favorites. What a great story in there. It's like a small movie condensed into a almost 5 minute long song. And the short version is, you know, he's like on this bus and he's going to visit his girl. And you can tell it just seemed like a girl that he doesn't see very much, but when he does get to meet up with her, they have a great time. And he gets to the door, and you can tell she hasn't seen him for a while, and she lets him in. And he's got his bag, you know, so he's just going to stay a couple of days, it looks like. And just very cool. I just like that kind of story.
I'm going to have to watch the Human Touch video. It's been far too long since I've seen any of these, I guess.
Yeah. That's how a woman should look when you get to the door and she hasn't seen you in a long time. She just welcomed him. And it was nice and romantic. So then number three is One Step Up. That's another great video. There's a whole long story going on in a 4 minute song. And Bruce is just in the bar and he's at a strip club. And they show his wedding ring. So you can tell, you know, it looks like he's married, but he's at the strip bar, probably like most guys that are at strip bars, they're married, you know, and they don't really want to go home because they have a shitty home life. And he's just looks like he's regretting what he did, you know, getting married, maybe wants out, doesn't know how to get out of it. And yeah, it's just, and they even did some stuff with age progression with his hair in the video. And there's some outtakes on YouTube and photos that they didn't use, but they did a whole thing. I mean, this went on forever of like age progression and his hairline and turning his hair gray.
I've seen him recently. I think they did that again.
They did that again for real. Yeah. Yeah. Just a good story. You know, they put a lot into it. These videos, some of these were really great, you know, back in the day. Just not just, they're like very small films. So, and then number two is, if I can find it, Rosalita.
My favorite. That's my favorite. That comes from the era where I first saw Bruce. And I first discovered Bruce, and the girls are running up on stage. And boy, what a great song, what a great video. That is everything. That was your number two?
Yes.
What's your number one? The big stadium one, Born to Run, where they could go to all the different cuts of all the different shows?
Number one, I'm on Fire.
I'm on Fire. That the one where he comes out from under the car dressed as a mechanic.
This is a great video. Yeah, great video. It's so short, this song.
Very short. Like
not even 3 minutes, maybe. I don't know. But so they stretch it out with some acting, Bruce's acting debut. So he's talking to this chick who, it turns out, I believe it was his wife, playing the role of this woman bringing her car in to be repaired. Was her name Julianne Phillips?
Yes, Phillips.
They never show the girl's face, but she's married. She brings her car in. And I guess the story is, you know, she's been there a few times and maybe flirted a bit with Bruce, who fixes cars. So Bruce, for some odd reason, he not only fixes cars, but he delivers the car back to you. I've never had this happen to me.
And he brings you the car.
How
did she get? How did she get out of the mechanic? Where? How did she get home? Without?
We don't know. We believe it was an Uber.
They did not have Uber.
Yeah. So
you didn't even have a cell phone back then, let alone Uber.
Yeah. So Bruce is like, he fixes the car. It almost, if you watch the video very closely, he doesn't do a damn thing to this car. So he just drives it right back.
Does he comb his hair or change his shirt or anything?
No, it's a convertible, so his hair is a mess. So he shows up, hair all messed up, and while he's driving to her house, he's looking through her glove box. Look, he's going through her personal things. And then he shows up, he's got the keys, and he's about to ring the doorbell. And he could easily have slept with this woman that night. No questions asked. She was willing to give it up. But he decides, no, my hair's a mess. I've been driving all night in this convertible. So he just puts the keys in the glove, in the glove box. He puts them in the mailbox.
Maybe he was worried that her daddy was home.
So that's the number one video.
Did you say Born to Run already and I missed it, or did you just leave that video off the list?
Left it off because there was no room.
For Born to Run, the world famous video where he's playing in front of stadiums and that whole thing, you left that off the list?
Correct. Now, I do have a very short list of videos since these videos, if you want it, because, you know, you mentioned that one quickly,
because then we're going to play some Lurtle and get these people on to a different podcast.
Yeah, these are just a few they could put on. There's a video for The Rising, Lonesome Day, Devils in Dust, Radio Nowhere, which ended up on our list, but I'm just talking about if they put out an anthology. Radio Nowhere, Jersey Devil, This Is My Sword, Hunter of Invisible Game. And that's about it. There's more.
We're gonna do a whole episode about Hunter of an Invisible Game, including the conceptual film.
Yes.
What album is that? What album is that? Is that the one that like High Hopes?
I think so.
I'm gonna say on the screen whatever it really is after George Washington calls me.
Yeah, it's not great since we don't know. Can't be good.
All right, Tom, we have a few rounds of Springsteen Lurtle. I know we've been running long. Put you to the test on a few Springsteen lyrics. Tell me if you know this one. Oh, gosh. See, I usually, you know, take some care to pick out ones that I think might be more difficult. But this time we were in a hurry, so I really just grab these things at random. This one's too easy. I can't even give you credit if you got this one. The city supplied a public defender, but the judge was Mean John Brown.
Johnny 99.
I mean, I told you before we started that one. It was a gimme. So don't act too impressed with yourself on getting Johnny 99. All right, here we go. This might be a little bit harder. Here we go, okay? But God save the rider in the Black Knight. Save the man who taught that it was right.
Take them as they come.
Very good. We will give you credit, 100% credit for that one. I thought that one was hard. Very, very good. Take them as they come. All right. I got a couple more here for you. Let's see. Got in some trouble and needed a hand from a friend of mine. This old friend had a figure in mind.
Going Cali?
not going Cali.
Let
Although,
me let
I mean, if anyone wants to challenge, sometimes Bruce duplicates lyrics between songs. But no, I am not reading from Going to Cali. Got in
me.
some trouble and needed a hand from a friend of mine. This old friend had a figure in mind. It was nothing illegal, just a little bit funny.
Big money?
It is
No.
Big Muddy. Excellent. Very good. I was worried about giving you a line that rhymed with muddy, but this one is going to be one of those easy ones. Easy, easy, easy. No, not too easy, too easy. Down the fire trails on silver nights with blonde girls pledged sweet 16.
Let me hear that again.
Yeah, I will read you that and only that line again. Down the fire trails on silver nights with blonde girls pledged sweet 16.
I recognize it.
Of course. It's like I said before we started, it's super easy. If I give you the next line, you'll get it. If I give you the previous line, you'll get it. You'll probably get it with some thought just off of what I gave you. If I sang it in rhythm, if I said it in rhythm, you'd get it.
Is it on the River album?
No, it is not on the River album.
Think I might need another line.
All them little girls. Souls grow weak when the man child gives them a double shot. Oh, Little Angel hangs out at Easy Joe's. It's a club where all the riot squad goes when they're cashing in for a cheap hustle.
It's just so hard when when you're reading it. It's so hard.
Especially when I've told you it's so easy and you're under all this pressure.
It's and I know everything you're reading. I'm like, oh, okay, I've heard this. But,
I got no other ones. I got no other ones I could read you that won't be just a dead giveaway.
just give it to me again, and just because I gotta just sing it to myself as you're doing it.
The original was Down Fire Trails on Silver Nights with blonde girls pledged sweet 16.
Continue.
And then from a different verse I gave you, all them little girls' souls grow weak when the man child gives them a double shot. And as them sweet summer nights turn into summer dreams, Little Angel picks up power and he slips on his jeans. Oh man, I could just hear George Washington now. The newsboys say the heat's been bad since Power 13 gave a trooper everything he had in a late summer scuffle. And Power's girl, Little Angel, been on the corner keeping those crazy boys out of trouble.
Oh, E Street Shuffle. God,
I'll
so embarrassing.
give you one more just to save face, and then we gotta go. Let's see. I know you guys, this is one of your songs. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. There's nothing in here I can give you. No. This is ridiculous. You'll have this in any line I read, no matter what line I read, you will get this. Families sleeping in their cars in the Southwest.
Ghost of Tom Joad?
Ghost of Tom Joad. There's not one line I could have read you that you wouldn't have gotten it. I can't believe it took you that long on that one. Preacher lights up a butt and takes a drag. Waiting for the when the last shall be first and the first shall be last. There's not one line in that song that isn't a dead giveaway. So I got to give you one more because that doesn't really save face. Everybody knew that from one line. Let's see. Inside, I felt like I was carrying broken spirits of all the other ones who lost.
Give me a little more.
More, huh? Let's see. This is another one where every line gives it away. Like when the truth is spoken and it makes no difference, something in your heart runs cold.
The promise.
All right. And that does help you save face. But again, after that first line, I thought I couldn't find a line that I was like, oh, don't get that.
I almost said Thunder Road. I'm not sure if that would have been acceptable.
That would not have been acceptable.
So I think some of the lyrics are
some of the lyrics are Thunder Road, but in Lurtle, you need to come up with the title. All right. I think that brings us to the end of a very long episode of the world's greatest Springsteen podcast. For a week that had really nothing going on, we rambled on and on and on. Is there anything you want to say quickly before we sign off, Tom?
No, just we appreciated the archive from 96, but we need a new release, something major, album.
I have high hopes. See what I did there? See what I did there? I threw in a Bruce album. I saw that. All right. All right. That is the end of another episode of the world's greatest Springsteen podcast. For Tom and me, Fisherman the Bootlegger, who pays the highest price, the world's greatest Springsteen podcast loves you.